Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning. Welcome to it. Tuesday morning. Mark is still off. I talked to him yesterday. He's having a good time at his little summit, his little Fox summit.
Is he summiting?
He's summiting.
With Howie and the crew and...
Howie and Jimmy and Terry and the whole crew over there.
Fox. People know me.
Yeah.
So he'll be back tomorrow. He's got some exciting news to share tomorrow.
Mark's, this has been an off season of news for him.
Yes.
Will it actually play out in reality?
In this case, he's not here to, well, he's breaking some news, but it's more news about him.
Oh, okay.
By the way, now that the whole Aaron Rodgers thing is done for now, put a bow on it for you. What were your biggest takeaways from the whole Aaron Rodgers saga?
I really thought
Chad
it would
Brown, happen. By the way, everybody.
Hi. For, this is me. It's my voice. It's Chad. It's not
Chad.
Mark.
Chad.
Yeah, Chad Brown.
Chad Brown.
I really thought it would happen. I repeatedly said that since the rumors came out that it was going to happen. If you're a player of Aaron Rodgers status, you know, you're not going to back down. And essentially, that's what he did. I thought... I didn't know if he was going to be a Denver Bronco, but I did not think he'd be playing for the Green Bay Packers this season.
Still hold out hope that he'll be here next year?
It seems to be how things are setting up, but, you know.
You good with that? You good with that? Or is that another year off his prime, a year older?
Tom Brady turned 44 today. So I think everyone expects a good season from Tom Brady. I always have to quote Bill Belichick when talking about older players. You know, you just don't slide off the cliff. You literally fall off the cliff. And at some point, it's going to happen for Tom Brady. It's happened to every player. And at some point, it's going to happen for Aaron Rodgers. But will it be in the next couple of years? I think he still has a few years left. So if he were to be a Denver Bronco next year, I would expect at least two, possibly three high-quality seasons out of him.
And that's enough?
That is absolutely
to justify
enough.
Whatever you're going to have to give up for him and pay him and all that?
Because, as Aaron talked about a little bit in his, presser, which was one of the most honest pressers we've seen in a long time in the NFL, people come to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. As Aaron Rodgers himself said, people will come to the Denver Broncos to play with Aaron Rodgers if he's a Denver Bronco. So the effect that would have, leadership, free agency, all that stuff, I think would completely be worth it.
Well, in the meantime, as we wait on Aaron Rodgers or... Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson or any of the can't-miss quarterback prospects in the draft next year, it's Teddy and Drew. And I was out at practice yesterday. Yesterday was a Teddy day. Clearly, he got the memo that Vic Fangio had talked about you can't just check down all the time because on his first rep, his first play, he threw the ball downfield and connected on a touchdown to Deontay Spencer. So just a reminder that he could push it down the field. But it was a Teddy day. Drew Lock threw a couple interceptions. Bridgewater threw an interception. It wasn't that Lock was horrible by any means. Bridgewater was just a bit better. It wasn't a dominant day for Bridgewater, but he was better. Does it say anything? Is it a good sign or a negative that neither quarterback seems like they can string together winning days?
Can it be both?
Explain. Explain that. Did not see that coming.
Because neither one of them is going to fall off the cliff. They have earned this opportunity through who they are. The reason why they are fighting for this opportunity is because of who they are. So they're just good enough to get you tantalized. You know, is Teddy, because of yesterday's, you know, first throw down the field, suddenly going to be a gunslinger? No, he's a very safe quarterback. Drew trying to hold himself back from his, you know, worst impulses. Does that make him a natural play the position with swagger guy? No. He wants to play to his worst impulses. So, yeah, it's bad that neither one has, you know, elevated themselves to the forefront because they both have their limitations. But it's good that neither one has jumped to the forefront because that would mean the other one didn't just not come to play. That means the other one just fell off the cliff, and that's right. Also not going to be good for the Denver Broncos either.
It also shows these guys are competitors. They're
bouncing back.
They clearly understand, okay, yesterday he got, and you know they're doing that.
Right.
I mean, you know the player, you know, Drew and Teddy are like, all right, he got me yesterday. That type of thing. All right, I gotta respond. I gotta bounce back today. And to their credit, each one seems to be doing it, but with the belief that I have, that I think most people have, I think you have too, we talked about this yesterday, that the sooner the better, the sooner you can figure out who the guy is, the better. Boy, you'd like to see somebody start to string together a little bit more consistency, I guess is the yes. thing that's missing. It's, I love the competitiveness, and I get what you're saying about neither one is falling off the cliff. They're both kind of, you know, playing to who they are. But boy, I'd like to see, cause the idea is, hey, you know, whoever is the starter is the starter, you know, with the idea he's going to be the starter for a while. I don't think any of us want, I know the football team would not want it to be a deal where, okay, hey, Drew, you played well this week. And then, it's halftime of the next game and you're stinking up the joint. Let's go to Teddy. And then Teddy gets to start that. I mean, you can't do that. Can't just keep going back and forth. So I'd like to see somebody be able to start stringing together some performances.
I'm with you on that from a consistency standpoint, but you have to give a tip of the cap to both guys to, you know, accept the competitive situation that they're in and find ways to be competitive. Yeah, Teddy wasn't great on Saturday. Teddy bounces back. Now, you know, there's something to be said for that. You want some resiliency within your quarterback. Every game's not going to be great. Every throw's not going to be great. So for both guys to be able to have bad days and bounce back, that's a good thing. But also to your point, that's what I'm saying, is there's a yin and a yang to this. There's a good and a bad. Because you don't develop resiliency without having some bad stuff happen. So I want you to be a resilient-minded guy. I want the team to be able to rally behind you when things don't go well. I want you to walk into the huddle comfortable after having a bad day because you're the guy, you're the leader. At the same time, what do we, as a defensive-minded guy, yes, of course we want to have few turnovers and play as safe as possible, but we really want you to be consistent. Because you can eat the clock, you can do all those kind of things. Sorry, Mike.
Jerry on the text line, Teddy and Locke are like vacuum cleaners. Broncos are trying to figure out who sucks the most so they can start the other guy.
I talked about that a little bit yesterday. Some of this is not just, you know, who's had the most positive plays, but who has the least bad plays, who plays the least to their worst impulses.
Right. Correct. Coming up next, I never thought I'd say this, but I missed Josh McDaniels yesterday.
Ooh.
That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
With Chad Brown sitting in, Mark will be back tomorrow.
Chad Brown.
And talk about being able to provide some outstanding analysis. We've got the Olympics on, watching some female Greco-Roman wrestling. Yes, it's as thrilling as it sounds. And you had a term used to describe what they're doing out there.
It's offensive linemany.
Linemany. Offensive linemany, he said.
Yeah, they're grabbing and pushing and pulling and just trying to get the other gal a little off balance. No one's fully committed. You know, they're not really slamming into each other. There we go. Uh-oh. Got her out the ring. Finally, an aggressive move after a first round of feeling each other out. Not up, but out.
Offensive lineman-y. I love that. I might use that with Mark. Hey, Did you go out there today at practice and watch the offensive linemen do offensive linemen-y things?
Yes.
Speaking of, about practice yesterday, I never thought I'd say this, but yesterday was a day where I missed Josh McDaniels. Hurricane Josh.
Tell me more.
Okay. Broncos practices are quiet. Broncos practices, the whole atmosphere is quiet. So much so that they did something yesterday I've never heard before. Now, I've heard crowd noise pumped in to simulate what you're going to experience on the road. This was done to add some life to the proceedings, almost to kind of cue like the applause sign in a sitcom, you know, taped in front of a live audience to maybe get the crowd into it a little bit more. And these practices, there's not a lot of tempo to them. You know, there's going back and forth, splitting quarterbacks. And up until today, there has been no real hitting. No, they're on pads. And, you know, it's kind of a very, I'm sure they're getting their work done, but it's lacking juice. Okay. And one thing that Josh McDaniels brought here and subsequent coaches kept it going for a while. I don't know why they're not doing it, anymore, but Josh brought music. You know, there would be rock and roll and rap and country blasting, not only before practice during the warmups, but at times during practice, just to create a little bit of energy. And I miss it because practice was kind of,
Okay.
I'm not saying they're not getting their work done.
Right.
But, you know, for the fans out there, for all of us out there watching, maybe even for, you tell me, maybe even for the players too. I wish there was a little bit more juice.
I like music during practice. You know, it was a rare thing when I was playing. You know, facilities weren't set up like that. We practiced as a Seahawk at Eastern Washington University. You know, with the Steelers, we practiced at La Trobe. So once I got to the Patriots, where it was at the stadium, then those kind of things were easy to wheel out speakers and make it all happen. So since the Broncos are practicing there and not at, what, UNC and Greeley like they did 20 years ago, to have all that there and accessible is, and not use it, particularly for this season. Last season, there weren't crowds at most games. So the noise wasn't as much of a factor. There are going to be crowds this season. So for Garrett Bowles and the offensive tackles to be able to listen to the snap count and get off on the snap with the crowd noise is an important thing. And if I'm Vic Fangio, I'd rather start that sooner than later. And, you know, I know Vic's a little bit more of an old school guy, but, Pete Carroll is old, but he's not old school. The Seahawks have a DJ at practice. There's not a, you know, assistant equipment manager with an iPod. There's an actual DJs with the ones and twos and the turntable, and he's in a tent, and he is blasting music the entire practice. There's juice. There's energy. When I was with the 49ers for that internship during the spring, all practice long, there's music playing. If there's not music, then there's incredibly loud crowd noise playing. There's energy. There is juice. So when the 49ers came here to scrimmage the Broncos, who played with more energy?
They came off the buses, and we were all like,
was the contrast
these guys are amped up?
Was the contrast not so amazingly
jarring
between the two teams and the energy that they brought?
Okay, and I'm talking about it from an entertainment standpoint, an atmosphere standpoint. Let's just boil it down. Does it matter when it comes to being a really good football team? Or should you have more life out there? Should it come from the players? Are they responsible for creating that kind of, you know, soundtrack that you want to see associated with your team? Does it matter when it comes to winning and losing games?
I think it comes down to your team culture. Now, obviously, it didn't help the 49ers much last year. They had a credible rash of injuries. But that energy that Kyle expects them to play with, I think shows up, and it made a difference during their Super Bowl run 2 years ago. And they're going to play at a much higher level this year. The Pete Carroll model of success at USC and now with the Seahawks is very clear. And it is all based on energy. It is all based on juice. You don't have to be assignment correct, but I expect you to have 110% effort every practice, every game. You compete all the time. So the culture is more for the Seahawks than just music at practice. It spills over to everything that they do. There's a basketball goal in the meeting room. And if two guys had some kind of contentious thing on the field yesterday, well, let's in the team meeting, let's shoot free throws to see who can win this thing and squash it. But again, it's all based on competing. It's all based on energy and juice. And if you're a little bit further laid back and that's not part of your culture, which doesn't seem to be part of Vic Fangio's coaching culture, then your team's not going to play that way. You can't just flip a switch and say, instantly, I got juice, and instantly, I'm super competitive. It has to be part of the program. It has to be what you do. When you walk in this building every day, you bring the juice. When you walk in this building every day, you find a way to compete at everything we do if you're a Seattle Seahawk. It shows up with those teams. That's who they are because that's the culture that is built. So, you know, I'm not prepared to say Vic is building an awful culture over there. But if there's no energy and juice at a training camp practice, and we know how limited these things are nowadays, it's not like when I played, when you have seemingly 50 of them, you've missed an opportunity to bring that energy and juice, and it's going to show up at some point.
It's also the way they conduct practices now. You know, when you're out there back in the day, twice a day, full pads, playing football. I mean, you're practicing football. That's going to create some juice of its own that people are going to, the players are going to react to, feed off, and certainly the people who are there are going to feed off. I mean, when you're just kind of running drills against air all the time, it's hard to really, I mean, as a player, right? I would just, you know, there's a lot of standing around. They do these water breaks, by the way. I don't know if you wait till you get out there and start. They do these water breaks during the, there's two or three of them where they just stop what they're doing. Everyone comes out with their little, you know, water machines. Everyone kind of takes a knee and just kind of chills for about 5-6 minutes. Two or three times of practice.
I'm down for the water breaks, you know, the physical.
But it just sucks all the, there's never a chance to really gain any momentum.
Well, then during the water break, pump the music up so at least half the guys are dancing. That's where that DJ comes into to play. That's where that juice comes in. It's a water break. We're going to take a knee, and I'm going to coach you up. But the energy level never dies.
Right.
And, again, I've been around programs where that's the thing, and it clearly relates to on-the-field success, energy.
Well, you know that if I was in charge, what song I would play?
Talk about.
This will get everybody fired up. That's right.
London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about pop music.
There you go. Pop music. All right. And to the person who says, you know, the last thing I want to hear about is the fake crowd noise. But folks, I mean, you know, if your team is dull and practicing dull and not performing with a whole lot of life, and I just had Chad over the last couple of minutes reiterate the fact that the energy that surrounds your football team matters when it comes to playing on Sunday. I think it's an issue. So, yeah, sorry, Carlos. Thanks for listening. But, yeah, I think it matters. I think it matters a lot. All right, Morning Brew is coming up next. I've got a story for Chad that's literally going to make him sick. He's going to be sick. He's going to be sick on the air. It's coming up next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Today I felt really comfortable, man. I felt like I was a brand new person out there running around and trying not to think about it. But, of course, you had those days where, okay, I don't want to step wrong and stuff like that. So I feel like last week I was having those thoughts and stuff like that. But when I get around those guys, man, when I get the energy that they bring, it makes me so excited. I don't even think about all the stuff that's going on with me, man. I'm just trying to go out there, like I said, make those plays, do what I can do to cause disruption.
Chad Brown in for Mark Schlereth. Think back tomorrow. We kick off the brew there from Bradley Chubb. And It's football. It's the Broncos. There are plenty of guys with a lot to prove. But I other than the quarterbacks, I don't know if there is someone who has more on the line and more to prove this year than Bradley Chubb to justify whether or not you give him a new contract, to live up to the number five overall pick in the draft. Just the importance of knowing, we know as Bronco country, what having dynamic bookend pass rushers can mean for a defense and for a team. So him pairing up with Von Miller and having a huge year. What about it? Bradley Chubb.
Bradley Chubb's
Bronco got with the most to prove.
Yeah, Bradley Chubb has about $65 million on the line this year. He comes out, has double-digit sacks, stays healthy, plays the full 16 games. It's a probably $100 million deal. He has five sacks.
50, 60 million guaranteed type thing. Yeah.
He has five sacks, misses a couple games. Then it's, you know, 4 years, 40 million. Mm-hmm. And there's 60 million left on the table, 65 million bucks left on the table. So I would think motivation would not be a factor for Bradley Chubb. It's always wanted for him. It seems to be about health in the end. If he can stay healthy, he's productive. If not, then, you know, he's missing time or he's struggling like he was when he first came back from the knee injury. So for Bradley Chubb to hear him saying last week he was kind of feeling his way through it, this week he's feeling a little bit more comfortable, I think it's a step in the right direction. And he doesn't need to be healthy next week. You know, he's got some time. He's got enough NFL experience. And you can be a pass rusher and be effective without a ton of preseason work.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, I'm just out here controlling what I can control at the end of the day. You know, I'm just looking forward to playing this season with my teammates, you know, just building on that, you know, and just playing my game, you know, just being the best player I could be.
Now, Pat Surtain might be, of all the Bronco players, maybe the one I'm rooting for the most, because this guy has gotten, I think, kind of a raw deal from a lot of Broncos country from day one, simply because he's not Justin Fields and because he's a cornerback. And I walked in here this morning. I fired up the text line. I was looking at a couple texts that came in last night with Sean Drotar. And, you know, it's like, doesn't matter what Pat Surtain does. He's not a quarterback. What did Champ Bailey ever do for us? And it's amazing to me that you play in a division with Patrick Mahomes. And I guess the idea is the only way you're ever going to beat Patrick Mahomes is if you have a quarterback who's actually going to be able to outdo Mahomes. What's the odd? Where are the odds of finding that kind of guy? There is still the idea of trying to stop a guy like Mahomes. Like, I don't know, kind of what Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl last year, holding this guy to 9 points. And the only way you're going to do that is if you have dynamic defensive players.
Well, let's see. You got a defensive-minded head coach, you got a guy who's been a coordinator and a linebacker coach in this league for forever. So the whole
thought of
going out and outscoring the Chiefs, that was like a John Elway fantasy. The George Payton correction is a much better way to go. Let's play smart on offense, not turn the ball over. Let's lean on our defensive-minded head coach, and let's give that guy enough weapons, particularly in a position room that cost the Broncos a couple of games last year. It's just smart, good football. It may not be what the fans wanted because they wanted a quarterback, but if you're George Payton and you eliminate bad football, there was bad football from that cornerback room a lot of times because those guys were on their couch the week before. There wasn't enough depth in that room. You eliminate the bad football. You eliminate the depth issue from your cornerback room in this division with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. You've done yourself a good thing, and Patrick Surtain is going to be a good player for the Broncos, whether you wanted him to be a quarterback or not.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Being a Bronco means striving for perfection, knowing that you'll never be perfect, but striving for it and you know, just, you know, leaving it all out in the field, man. Even when you lose games, you want the fans to be like, man, hey, they lost, man, but they played a hell of a game. You know, they left it all on the field.
Hall of Famer, it'll become official this weekend, Steve Atwater. On the Fan last night with Nick and Cecil, when I say Steve Atwater, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, man. Steve Atwater is one of the hardest-hitting players in NFL history. Obviously, by going to the Hall of Fame, he is now an all-time great. But the first thing I think of when I think of Steve Atwater is an awesome dude. I've known Steve Atwater since my, essentially my senior year at CU. His agent is my agent, Peter Schaefer, here in Denver. I've known Steve for forever. Always just an amazing guy. So I am looking forward to being in Canton, Ohio to watch him go into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be there.
It's going to be an amazing weekend. What a great weekend. And I'd love to hear from Bronco fans, any Bronco fans who are getting ready to make the trip. Let us know, because I think that's going to be great. Atwater, John Lynch, Peyton. I mean, it's going to be a great Bronco weekend. It really is. And Broncos country always represents really well at these Hall of Fame ceremonies. Can't wait. Next on the Morning Brew.
Durant now, right of the lane against the shorter Lowry. Gets it out to James. Run off the line, kick it to the corner. Green's got it. Three on the way. Good for Jeff Green. He leads the Nets tonight with 22.
Nets radio, the Nuggets were busy on day one of NBA free agency. Their big move, they brought back Will Barton, a two-year, $32 million deal. Also added, brought back another good veteran in Jamichael Green, and added a good veteran in Jeff Green. What do you think of the moves, particularly the Will Barton move? Because he's somebody that Nuggets fans have had sort of a love-hate relationship with over the years.
I will give the same thought that we talked about yesterday with James Merrillat. You know, James predicted that the Nuggets would essentially stand pat and kind of double down on the roster, which it sounds like what they've done. But my thing is, you're in the same conference as the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And they went out and got Russell Westbrook. How do you deal with their big three? Who is your big three to respond back to AD, LeBron, and Russell Westbrook? So you can say, well, we got better. We re-signed this guy. We brought in this guy. But did you get better at the same level as the Lakers did, yeah, as your competition? It doesn't seem like they did, at least not on paper right
well,
now.
Well, they're counting on Michael Porter Jr.
Jimmy Joe Jokic.
They're counting on Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter Jr.
Make the leap and couple that with Jokic. And by playoff time, a healthy Jamal Murray, then you've got your big three augmented by a guy like Will Barton. Yeah, his game can drive you crazy at times, but there's no denying when he's on, he's a terrific scorer for you, a force scorer. So I see what they're doing.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Well, you can see their game plan.
But do you think it'll work? Because you're
counting on two big things. You're counting on Michael Porter Jr. to make the leap and Jamal Murray to be 100% full throttle by the playoffs coming off an ACL.
Does that feel a little...
there's risk there.
Does it feel a little Ocean's 11 to you? Like, you know, these 17 things have to happen so you can rob a casino?
Right. I got to ask you, by the way, does it make you sick? Like, almost like physically sick as a football player looking at the contracts that some of these guys are getting? I mean, when we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, we were like, well, do you really want to pay a guy who's 38 years old, you know, maybe close to $40 million a year? Trey Young got a deal, 5 years, $270 million. Lonzo Ball got $85 million. Alex Caruso got $37 million. I mean, it goes on and on. Duncan Robinson, who all he can do is shoot, he does nothing else, got 5 years, $90 million.
Good for these guys.
Really? You feel nothing but good vibes for them, huh?
I'm a little jealous.
Jealous?
But there's no hate directed at them. It's not their fault. This is the lay of the land.
Yeah.
When I got my big deal, older guys were upset that I got my deal. Uh-huh. So it's always going to be the way it works. Salaries get better. Good for these guys. Oof. Make sure you secure. They have the opportunity for generational wealth. I can't be mad at them.
Just eye-popping numbers. Just stupid. And it's all guaranteed.
Yeah.
There'll be no contract restructuring or anything like that. Hey, you got to take a haircut, take a pay cut, or we're going to cut you. No, this is all guaranteed. Amazing. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, joins us next. Our 9 News Bronco Insider, Mike Kliss, he chops it up with Chad Brown a lot on 9 News, joins us now. So I'll let you two just have your little love fest. Go ahead. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, Mike. How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. Ready to rock and roll. Pad day.
Uh-oh. Pad's coming out. What are you expecting here on the first day of pads? A little bit of feeling around, or just gonna, are they going to come out pads popping, lots of juice and lots of energy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be, you know, it'll be, first of all, when people say, what do you expect? I always say, let the practice come to me. you know, but, you know, I just, usually, I just hope everybody stays healthy. That's what I care about the most, you know, as a reporter, I'm hoping I'm not chasing anything afterwards, but there probably will be somebody nicked up. I hate to say, that's what happens with, pads in football.
Mike, we're just talking about Bradley Chubb. Can you explain to us why, it took so long into the offseason for him to get that ankle procedure?
Yeah, they thought it would heal on its own with rest and rehab. And, you know, for a while, it seemed to be okay. 4 weeks before he had the surgery, he was working out with DeMarcus Ware, I think down in the Dallas area is where DeMarcus is. You know, and DeMarcus has a pretty arduous workout program and special instruction when it comes to the pass rush techniques that he teaches. And, you know, it looked like Chubb was moving pretty well. But 4 weeks later, didn't get a chance to ask him about that workout yesterday. But 4 weeks later, he was having the surgery. So there's discomfort in there. From what I understand, it wasn't, you know, when you have an ankle injury initially, I think it was, you know, strained ligaments and those kind of things. But it turned out that some bone spurs developed in there. And, you know, the bone spurs don't grow according to the football calendar. And the bone spurs were causing some irritation, discomfort. They went in there and scoped it and took care of the bone spurs, whether shaving it or removing it. And, you know, so that's, you know, it was 2.5 months ago. And, you know, it's for September 12th, it'll be 4 months out. I think he, you know, based on how scopes go, he should be fine.
Mike, so much has been talked about, you know, obviously, with the two quarterbacks. I haven't heard a whole lot of conversation about who they're throwing the ball to. Who seems to have the best connection with either quarterback? Which of the young receivers seems to be the most reliable target that both quarterbacks find comfort with?
Well, by far, Jerry Jeudy. You know, he's having a real good camp. And, you know, Cortland Sutton is still working his way back. You know, a lot of people are observing. He doesn't look as fast. He's still struggling in his comeback. I think it has more to do with the brace he's wearing. It's a huge brace on his left knee. And if, you know, I do think he's probably going to have to take that brace off once the season starts. He's going to have to get it strong enough, and he's going to have to be confident enough to take that brace off. So he can be effective. I don't think he would, I don't think he'll be as effective with that brace on. So there's a little concern there, but, he's coming along. You know, he had, he caught a deep pass, if it was a catch, there Saturday, down the left sideline. And, so he's coming along, but I don't think, you know, physically there's anything, you know, wrong with Sutton as far as, you know, experiencing a setback or anything like that. I think it's just the brace. But Judy's been outstanding. And KJ Hamler has been good. You know, he's broken some long ones, and he's also done the slot work underneath the option routes. He's been pretty good. Patrick has been steady. He's battled a little hamstring, I guess, or groin, something like that, in the last couple days, but he seems to be okay. So that's what it's been. It's been, in summary, Judy's been outstanding, and Sutton is coming along with that knee.
All right. Well, Mike, I'd love to continue to talk to you, but the fatigue police are on the scene, and we need to get a water break in.
Yeah, I know that is, Chad, you must, shake your head at, when you see those stoppages in the practice, but, that is the new ways here with the new CBA.
Yes, the new ways aren't always the best ways. All right, Mike, we'll see you out there later. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
See you guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco Insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. All right, this is the day that a lot of us have been looking forward to. The players will be in pads. What should we expect? I want to share with you what a former defensive player told me yesterday about what to expect from defensive players today. I'm curious if you'll agree or disagree. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.